Well, welcome to the new year. My name's Ian, I'm one of the pastors here. If you've been shopping recently, you know that the shopping centres and the car parks have been very crowded. Well, recently a married couple had been out shopping for most of the day, and suddenly the wife realised that her husband had disappeared. And somewhat irate, she called her husband's mobile and demanded, "Where are you? Are you in Bunnings again?" And her husband said, "Darling, do you remember that little jewellery shop where you saw that beautiful diamond necklace and totally fell in love with it? But I didn't have the money at that time." And I said, "Darling, it will be yours one day." And his wife gasped and said excitedly, "Yes, I do remember that, my love." And the husband said, "Well, I'm in the pub next to that shop." And I didn't get that joke from Jonathan. Today, as we begin a new series of messages called Hollywood Jesus, as we look at some films, as we see how they remind us of Jesus, today it's the Blues Brothers. Next week, Jonathan, as he said, was looking at the Legend of Ben Hall. Actually, you know, there's a common theme emerging here, isn't there? Something to do with guys in trouble with the law. But you know, sometimes life doesn't always go to plan. Like in that film about the birds, where their plan to get rid of that larger interloper from their perch does not end well for them. Have you ever felt like that? Where your plans didn't work out and you wondered, what next? Well, what next is a good question to ask as we're starting a new year. And what next is a question we often ask ourselves when we're watching a film. Hollywood has a real knack for developing a plot so we're on the edge of our seat, eyes glued to the screen, wondering, what next? What's the next twist that the writer or the director will come up with next? Well, as I said, today we're looking at that old classic, the comedy musical, The Blues Brothers. It's the 1980 version, not the dud from Blues Brothers 2000 from 1998. I know it's from a long time ago, but it's still got some great lines, some great songs, and some great car chases. In the movie, Jake L. Blues gets out of jail and wonders what next. And well, he's collected by his brother Elwood in an old police cruiser. And off they go to see one of the nuns at the orphanage in which they grew up. Now, there's a bit of a problem with the orphanage because the city council says they have to pay $5,000 in taxes. But what's even worse is that they only have 11 days to come up with the money or the bishop will sell it. The head nun, the Penguin, she won't accept Jake and Elwood's initial plans to rob a bank or somehow get the $5,000 illegally. And she tells them how disappointed she is and not to come back until they've redeemed themselves. So Jake and Elwood get themselves off to a pretty lively church. It's actually a Baptist church, not a Catholic church. I'm not sure what that says. But the preacher is so enthusiastic, working the congregation like a pro, that Jake has this grand revelation. He has seen the light. And he says, "Yes, Jesus, I have seen the light." And the light for him is to reform the Blues Brothers band and to make some legitimate money. There's a slight problem. While Jake was serving time, the band members have taken other jobs. And the police are still after Jake and Elwood for outstanding warrants. Well, off they go to persuade the former band members to come back and play with the band again. There are a few hilarious scenes where this takes place, including a classic car chase through the inside of a shopping mall. How good would that have been to make? There was no CGI in those days either. The mall gets wrecked. They get some instruments from with an IOU from Ray's music store, and the reform band pretends to be another band, the Good Old Boys, and plays a gig at a place that plays both kinds of music, country and western. The crowd's a bit fickle, But after playing the theme from Rawhide and the good the old Stand By Your Man, pun intended, they get away with it. But again, there's a problem. Another what next moment. You see, they only made $200 for the night, but they drank $300 worth of beer. But they escape. There's a chase. The cops hit the real band's van and off the Blues Brothers go. And the next plan that Jake has is for the band to play at one really big venue and make enough in that one performance to pay off the whole of the orphanage bill, tax bill, in one hit. Only there's a problem. Another one. They've not only got half the Illinois police force after them by now, there's also a whole crowd of Illinois Nazi sympathisers that they upset who are after them. They ran them off, made them jump off a bridge into the river below. But as if that isn't enough, there's a mystery woman, one of Jake's old girlfriends. She's also after them, as is the good old boys band that they impersonated. Well, they advertise the gig at short notice with a giant air raid siren that they mounted on the top of the Bluesmobile, the old police car. And then with a big crowd watching, including what seems all the members of the Illinois law enforcement agencies and the Nazi party members, but they put on such a great performance that a talent scout for a record label pardon me, signs them up for a $10,000 cash fee. Well, Jake and Elwood take the $5,000, give the band and Ray's music store the rest, and escape through a tunnel and a hole in the bottom of the stage. And there's another epic chase, of course, as Jake and Elwood head for the tax office to pay the orphanage's outstanding fees. We're 106 miles from Chicago. We've got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. And off they go. There were car crashes galore, fantastic car crashes, but they eventually make it. And they finally get the receipt for their $5,000 from the orphanage and are immediately handcuffed with hundreds of weapons pointed at them, and the Blues Brothers play their next gig in jail, Jailhouse Rock, they play. Well, why did they persist with this incredible adventure in order to pay off the tax debt and save the old orphanage? Well, the answer's fairly simple. You see, for Jake and Elwood, they kept saying, we're on a mission from God. Him and God had a thing, you know? We're on a mission from God. That was their purpose. That was their motivation. They just wanted to save the old orphanage because we're on a mission from God. And you know, this reminds me of Jesus. If you look in the Bible at chapter 4 of Luke's Gospel, you'll find this. Jesus went back to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as usual, he went to the meeting place on the Sabbath. He went to the synagogue. And when he stood up to read from the scriptures, he was given the book of Isaiah the prophet, and he opened it and read, "The Lord's Spirit has come to me, because he has chosen me to tell the good news to the poor. The Lord has sent me to announce freedom for prisoners, to give sight to the blind, to free everyone who suffers, and to say, this is the year the Lord has chosen." Jesus closed the book, handed it back to the man in charge, and sat down. And everyone in the meeting place looked straight at Jesus. And then Jesus said to them, "What you have just heard me read has come true today." And all the people started talking about Jesus and were amazed at the wonderful things he said. They kept on asking, "Isn't he Joseph's son? Isn't he Joseph's son?" Well, Jake and Elwood Blues had a sense that they were on a mission from God to save the old orphanage from closure. God had chosen them to do that. And Jesus had a mission from God too, to tell the good news to the poor, to announce freedom for prisoners, to give sight to the blind, to free everyone who suffers. That's what God had chosen him to do as his mission when he was only about 30 years old, still quite young. His mission is good news for us now, because it means that we too can know freedom and forgiveness and live with hope for the future and not be overcome by fear of the consequences of our past. When we trust that Jesus has also given us a mission from God to live in relationship with him, to trust in what he has already done for us in his life, death and resurrection, and to love our neighbour as ourselves, then the future doesn't have to be scary for us. Yeah, sure, this year is only a few hours old, but today is the first day of the rest of our lives. And from now on, we can choose to accept our mission from God or not. I'm not saying that life will always be easy. There are bound to be some tough times ahead, because life's like that. But if we know what our purpose is, if we know what our reason for being is, then it makes a world of difference to how we live. The birds in the film clip at the start were comfortable on the wire. Everyone fitted together. They could chat amongst themselves. And life was wonderful as they sat on the wire, surrounded by clear blue sky. And then conditions changed. The big bird landed in their midst. The wire sagged significantly. They weren't so comfortable. They wanted life to go back to what it was like beforehand. So they did what people often do when conditions change for us. They picked, they checked. We chat amongst our friends. We sow seeds of discontent. We attack those who are different. We say, isn't he Joseph's son? We complain about those who change things. Is that you? I hope not. You know, when God upsets our apple cart, feathers get scattered all over the place. We can't control life anymore. And we end up running around butt naked and sometimes feeling very afraid, very apprehensive. Our feathers get scattered by all sorts of things. We get sick. A loved one dies. Jobs change or disappear. The power goes off. But if we know our purpose for living, if we know our mission from God, then those awkward bits of life won't destroy us. We will still have hope for our future. The take-home message is that life makes sense for us when we accept that we do have a purpose and a reason for what we do. A reason that has everything to do with our mission from God, the God who gives us life and creates and rescues and commands the nations and its leaders, the God who later sent Jesus, his son, to be born at Bethlehem, to grow up in Nazareth, and who was always motivated by his particular God-given mission to tell good news to the poor, etc. So if you're facing a big decision, remember that God is in charge. When we ask God for insight and wisdom, we can get some amazing messages or answers from God. They aren't always what we expect either. Sometimes our mission from God can be life-changing. Oh no, it was for me. I started off as a farmer's son and then became an agriculture teacher. I thought being a good teacher was to be my mission. But God had other ideas. And for the last nearly 30 years, I've been a pastor and a preacher. Jake and Elwood Blues thought that it would be easy to get the money to save the old orphanage in only 11 days. But it wasn't. And I'm guessing they learned a few things about being on a mission from God, like how to duck. When the birds got twanged off the wire, they learned a few new things too. Their feathers would eventually grow, but until they did, they had to live in exile, as it were, running around on the ground amongst the predators, hiding. They thought that they would win the battle with a big bird, but they lost that battle, although it did get him off the wire. And they also lost their feathers. It was unexpected, just like the election of Donald Trump to be the next president of the United States. That certainly surprised a lot of people. The past isn't always a good predictor of the future, because God uses whatever and whoever God chooses for God's purposes. Remember that. God uses whatever and whoever God chooses for God's purposes. Now, our purpose or mission for God might be, or from God, might be something that comes from right out of left field, an idea that in our own human way we would never think of. And our pride can tempt us to reject that which is new or different. Like the sparrows on the wire rejected the new big bird. So what's next? We don't know. What will this new year be like? We don't know yet. We might have some ideas. But remember, whatever it is, my prayer for you is that it will be something that you know God wants for you, and that you can have that guilt-free. Have you ever been part of a sporting or social group in which sides have been chosen? Were you chosen first or near the end, or maybe got left on the sidelines? When I played basketball many years ago, I wasn't that good, but I went to practices and I turned up for all the matches, and I usually got some court time. Usually, that is, until it was the grand final one year and George, the coach, left me on the bench for the whole game. We were being thrashed miserably. Everyone could see what the final result was going to be, but as the clock ticked down the final few minutes, I was left on the bench, seething, right to the end. Not happy, Ian. But the good news about our future is that we have no fear of being left on the bench. It's not a vote on our popularity or how good we are. It's not like the election of a new prime minister or president. When we say yes to Jesus, we are chosen. Once we weren't on his team, but now we are. Once we were nobodies, but as followers of Jesus, we're somebodies. Chosen, special, with a purpose and a hope and a future, because we are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, as 1 Peter 2:5 says. That's our mission from God, to be a holy people, serving Jesus, loving one another and growing in faith. And the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3, "This one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward for what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus." In other words, it's the future that matters, a future that is filled with hope and a purpose and a mission from God, one that is lived in relationship with Jesus Christ, God's Son. So, are you willing to hear God speak to you, to give you a purpose, to give you a mission from God, however God chooses? Remember, God does this through the most unlikely people and situations, like Jake and Elwood Blues, like in popular culture and movies, and even through people like you and me. I wonder, what's your mission from God?